This is an interview for the George J. Mitchell Oral History Project at Bowdoin College. The date is March 31st, 2010. This is Andrea Lumdieu, and today I'm doing a telephone interview with Paul Maroon in Florida. Paul, could you start just by giving me your full name?
My name is Paul P. Maroon.
And is that spelled M-A-R-O-O-N? And where and when were you born?
I was born in Waterville, Maine, January 19, 1932.
And did you grow up in the Waterville area?
Yes.
What was it like in the 30s and the 40s?
In the 40s, Waterville was a booming area. It had businesses, and which is still... In the old days of the 40s and 50s, we had a lot of woolen mills and cotton mills that was running, and it was a booming area where a lot of salesmen used to come in and stay overnight from out of the Boston area, and they do their work in the Waterville Bangor area, and they would stay in Waterville at nighttime because it was a booming city.
Right, and what part of Waterville did you live in?
I lived in the southern part of the, near the banks of Kennebec River. It was called Front Street.
Right on Front Street, yes.
On the area, it was off Front Street, but it's on Hathaway Street. It's right near, like one block away from Front Street. Actually, about one block away from George Mitchell's home.
Really? Yeah. And so was that part of the Lebanese community in Waterville?
Right. The Lebanese community was made up of men and women that came from Lebanon and settled in the Waterville area to work at the mills. And that's the rail station.
Okay.
It was made up of, the city was made up of seven wards, which they had councilmen made from these wards. And the Lebanese people settled in the Ward 3 and 4 area.
Okay. And what were your parents' names?
My parents' name was Sam and Nimra Maroon.
How do you spell your mom's first name?
N-I-M-E-R-A.
Okay. And what did they do?
My mother's from Lebanon, the same area as George Mitchell's mother's hometown, called Cassine.
And did they know each other well?
I guess when they knew, when they were kids. But when they came to Waterville, that's how we got involved more with their family.
Okay. What did your parents...
In Lebanon, there's a small town, just like trying to figure out a town where you might... Like a little small village. It's just a small village of not more than probably 1,000 people in that village. They're all... In those days, and they didn't have any automobiles or anything like that, so they all stuck together.
Right. And what did your parents do for work?
My father worked for the Wyandotte Worsted Mills, and he retired from there.
And your mom, did she stay home?
She was at home. She had home.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
We had two girls and six boys.
Oh, wow. So it was a big family.
Right.
What did you all do for fun?
The kids?
Yes.
Well, we played sandlot baseball, football in the neighborhood. And we played cops and robbers and things like that. Like all kids do.
Right. And so were there lots of kids in the neighborhood to play with?
Quite a bit. Even though we were like a segregated community, we had our own church, our own school, called the St. Joseph Maronite Church. We had our own school up to eighth grade, taught by the Mount Mercy nuns.
Mm-hmm.
And we had grades 1 to 8, where there's more like grades 1 to 3 to 4 and 5 and 6, 7 and 8. They were three classes, and they were made up of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
And then where did you go to high school?
Waterville High School.
Mm-hmm.
From the 8th grade, we went to Waterville Junior High School. Then we stayed there in the 9th grade, then went to Waterville High School, 10, 11, 12th grade.
Okay. So can you talk about what some of the Lebanese traditions were in your family and in the community?
Well, in my family, we used to go to church every Sunday morning. After Mass, we used to go home, and my mother would have special meals for our kids, and we would change into our clothes and play football in the parking lot until the other Mass was over with, and wait for the other kids to get out.
Well,
and
what were some of the foods that you remember from childhood?
Foods we made, well, we have what we call baked kibbe, and Murray had raw kibbe. It's made up of raw hamburger, real meat, or some, we use lamb a lot in those days. Today we probably use, regular meat, fresh meat.
Mm-hmm.
But in those days, my mother used to have a man come in every Saturday, and he'd come in with some lamb, different types of lamb, rack of lambs, and she'd break them, cut it all up and make regular meals during the summertime, during the wintertime, during the weekdays. We would have baked kibbe, we have raw cabbage, we would have summer squash, it's a special Lebanese squash that they used to make. We made salads and different things like that. We had cookies. We used to have Christmas time, they make a special luncheon, and at Easter time we make a special what they call Easter cookies, made up of nuts and dates.
And were those traditions passed down in your generation?
Quite a bit. In fact, my brothers, and they're married with different, French and Polish girls, and they make my mother taught them everything, so they keep the tradition as much as they could.
Oh, that's great. Well, talk about your family's relationship to the Mitchells when you were growing up.
We were very good, close friends. Everybody was when you're growing up, everybody in that community, even though we were segregated, we still were integrated with a lot of the French people in our neighborhood. We grew up together, like everybody was cousins and everybody was aunts and uncles. We call everybody aunts and everybody was uncles. And we all seemed like we were all cousins.
Right. And did you get a sense of George Mitchell's parents? What were they like?
His father was, he was adopted, and he spoke better Arabic than some of the Lebanese people that was living there.
Yeah. Was he around a lot?
Very friendly. He was a hard-working man. But we'd get to know him and see him at church and things like that, and at the ceremonies. And we used to have a lot of affairs at the church, that the church would be putting on suppers and stuff like that. We used to see each other.
Right. And did you get to know George Mitchell himself? You were about the same age.
Yeah, he was a couple years younger than us, but he jumped the grades. I guess it was in the fifth and sixth grade. That's when he came up with us. But he was the same age as my younger brother, Louis. But we all played together. We'd make up teams together. My brother and I is twins.
Mm-hmm.
My brother Peter, and we used to be the biggest guys of the block of all the kids, practically. And we would make up teams, so my brother and I would always be a captain because we never wanted to be on the same team. And we would always pick up my brother Louis and George at the end because they're the smallest and the sweetest guys.
Right. And you probably knew Johnny and Paul as well, or Robbie?
Yeah, I knew Robbie very well. Robbie's more my age, and but they when they started the school in the Maronite school, they put us all in different grades, the way we were aged.
Right.
He was about 2 or 3 months older than us, so they put him in a grade ahead of us. Started.
So what was Robbie like growing up?
Robbie, well, he was a nice guy. He was really a very personable guy. He was a good basketball player, just like his brother Johnny. And we were all like brothers, really.
Yeah, do you have any stories from those times? Any stories that you remember that were funny or?
Okay, let me, back in May 9th of 1992, we had a Chamber of Commerce started annual program for they honored George Mitchell as This Is Your Life.
Right.
And they called on me to write something about him as we grew up. Well, let me read something to you that I wrote at that table that night.
Okay.
I started off with say, George, you remember, we used to call him Georgie. Georgie, do you remember the old Front Street gang? Remember when we all stood in front of your father's house on Front Street and waved to the passengers on the passing trains? You were politicking then. Remember playing baseball in the gravel at St. Joseph's Maronite Schoolyard? Football on Hathaway Street? Remember when we played basketball at the Boys Club? Remember the Tarzan swing behind your house where the American Legion home is, the parking lot is today? Remember the first cigar that you had at first puff? Remember the picnic at Mount Mercy Grounds? Remember the time you realized I was a twin and could not tell apart, my brother and me? Remember when we played sandlot ball? Peter and I were always captains. Peter and I always argued about having you and our brother Louis on our team, as both of you were very small and very slow. Georgie, do you remember the time you shoveled dirt in the building of St. Joseph Maronite Church? Your shovel was bigger than you. Remember when you were the selected teacher's pet and had the privilege of cleaning the blackboards? And remember, there's a big tree that we used to play in. They knocked that down, and here's the gun that they found for you. And there was a gun that we had a rubber bag, and they shot at him. It was a rubber tube that we used to use, and we used to strap it on this wooden gun that we used to make up.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted that. He kept that as a souvenir.
Oh, neat.
And then I myself realized that God had important plans for the scrawny little kid from Front Street. Little did we know that this particular kid would grow up to be one of our great leaders of our country. You made us proud of us, proud of you, and keep on climbing. May it comfort you to know that you always have the love and the support of the old Front Street gang. And then someone else took over from there.
Oh, that's nice. So that was a sort of a local Waterville
Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm. Now, after those high school years, did you have contact with him?
Well, we all went into service afterwards, and we knew where everybody was. In fact, I had his mother's address in my black book.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. But we kept in touch with him. No, but not with family, but my brother and I went to service. And George went to college, too, and then he went into the service. But my brother and I went from high school to college. We were almost ready to be called in the Korean War, so we left. He took to the Air Force, I took to the Navy.
Right. And did you come back to Waterville after your service in the Navy?
Yes, I did. I came back in service, went to college at Hudson College.
Mm-hmm.
And then we haven't seen each other for a while, but every year, though, we would go to his brother-in-law's house. His name was Ed Atkins, and his sister's Barbara's house.
Right.
Every year at Super Bowl Day. And we would all have about 20, 25 of his friends over for a roast dinner. And we would watch the game many times. Some of us would play cribbage, tell times of the old days, and would talk about everything else and what we ate in those days. Then we went for years. Mary and I worked on George's campaign. We did fundraising for him.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you about that. The Senate campaigns?
First, it was the governor's campaign.
So what do you remember from that? That was in 1974. What do you remember about that campaign?
Oh, well, I remember one day my wife saw him at the supermarket and said, geez, George, you got to get moving. Coming to Waterville more often because she said that sitting governor Longley was coming to Waterville every day practically, and she was telling him that we're worried about the campaign, and one thing we were going to his we're on our way at the end of election day to Portland. We heard on the radio that he had lost. We were upset about that. We got to the campaign office in Portland. Everybody was quiet. We was all upset about it. But it worked out to be the best thing for him. He became senator and majority leader.
Right. And in terms of fundraising, how did you go about doing that in the 70s? What sort of was the protocol?
I worked with Robbie then. And we put lunch in at nighttime. We have a buffet or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we did it. Then the time at the election day, we wrote people to the campaign to register to election headquarters. We drove them around, picked up people to vote.
Right. So, when you look at George Mitchell's career, what stands out in terms of your perspective?
Well, first of all, I think George is a great guy, very personable, and very sincere, very educated, and he took time off from his when he was Senate Majority Leader, and he came to my 25th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
That's how close we are. Then he invited me, my brother Peter, and my brother Louis, who all the people, out of our class, as kids were concerned. He invited us to his installation in Washington, which we attended.
Was that as senator or majority leader?
When he was majority leader.
Mm-hmm.
Then he introduced us to his party colleagues at the Senate after the party, after he was installed. They had a party in the next room, and we were there too.
Is there anything I haven't asked you that you think is important to add? Maybe something that you wrote down that I don't know to ask about?
Before I forget them, I'd like to say this. He was a high achiever in high school, and he was vice president of our class.
Mm.
We played basketball together in high school, and we played basketball in the boys' club. And when we were in grammar school, we had a grammar school team, and the coach was his brother Johnny,
mm-hmm.
which they called the Swisher. So we were all involved, you know, we're all just like cousins.
Right.
And I followed him all through his success as the Senate work, and also at the time of his involvement was Island Peace Work. So while we're talking about Island Peace Work, I haven't seen George. I moved here in about 14, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen George that much. I probably saw him once or twice. When I went to Waterville, I saw him. But I wanted to tell him, that, and I hadn't had the chance to see him, to tell him what I experienced. One day, my wife and I were living in Florida, and we was at a restaurant. I live in Fort Myers, Florida, and I belong to the St. Francis Xavier Church here. While walking out of a restaurant ready to pay my bill, we walked by my pastor, and he stopped me, and he said, hi, he said, I want to introduce you to my brother. He just picked up from Ireland, from the airport. He just arrived from the airport from Ireland, and I brought him here to eat, so. He introduced me to his brother, which his brother's name was John. He said, I said, oh, you're from Ireland. So I started joking with him that I was cousin of George Mitchell and stuff like that. And when I said George Mitchell, he jumped out of that chair and he jumped up and he shook my hand. He said, Ireland loves George Mitchell. So I always want to tell George that.
Oh, yeah.
That made my day when I heard that.
Yeah.
So I hope he reads this, because if I don't see it in my life, at least he reads it. You know,
right.
It happened.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
You can always say, if I end this thing of that scrawny little kid from Front Street, will go down in history as one of our greatest statesmen. And I believe in that.
Great. Thank you so much.
Anything else you want to tell me?